The choice is not whether to have a relationship, but in what way. Close or distant. Warm or cold. Surface or deep. Negative or positive.
Today on Arts and Letters, we'll be talking with speech communication professor Dr. Julian Miraville. His new book, The Art of Positive Communication, Theory and Practice, published by Peter Lang in 2014, is informed by research on interpersonal communication and language and social interaction.
Communicating positively can be learned. It is a creative art through which we can inspire our relationships and co-construct our worlds. And maybe, just maybe, nudge us a little closer to a world at peace.
Positive communication with our guide, Julian Miraville, on Arts and Letters. For the University of Arkansas at Little Rock, I'm J. Bradley Minnick, and welcome to Arts and Letters, a program providing opportunities for the celebration of the arts and humanities.
If you're a mountain, then your hatred is like a landslide rolling in me.
A professor travels to Japan to study martial arts with a great grandmaster. He arrives into the dojo, and upon meeting him, the professor seeks to display all of his abilities and works hard during the whole training session to make visible everything he knows.
And people say you gotta dig a little bit deeper, 'cause this old well's been running dry.
After class, the grandmaster comes to him, puts his arm around him, and invites him for tea outside in a beautiful Japanese dog garden. They sit down, and the grandmaster says, "Would you like some tea?" The professor says, "Of course." So the grandmaster starts pouring tea into a cup, and he starts pouring and pouring until the tea overflows from the cup. The professor doesn't want to say anything, but the grandmaster keeps pouring tea into that cup. Finally, the professor can't take it anymore. He says, "Stop, stop! No more tea will go in." And so the grandmaster puts the teacup down and says, "Like this cup, you're full of your own opinions and speculations. How can I show you Zen unless you first empty your cup?"
Lord, and just because I got so lonely, it doesn't mean I'm the only.
To put this lesson simply, you are listening to this story with many assumptions about communication and how it works.
I'm like the desert ground, I've been drying out, Lord, I need you now, 'cause I can't do it.
Perhaps then we can all empty our cups a little bit and begin anew.
When people say you gotta dig a little bit deeper, 'cause this old well's been running dry.
Both theoretical and practical, Dr. Julian Miraville's book, The Art of Positive Communication, Theory and Practice, poses those questions we most want answers to.
How are greetings used in personal relationships?
How does asking help us discover the unknown?
How does complimenting affect the development of self?
What about disclosing deepens relationships?
How does encouraging give us support?
How does listening transcend human separateness?
Well, I'm in need and I've been searching for something I can grapple to and not let go.
With these questions in mind, let's explore together the oft-neglected impact of positive communication across contexts. Appropriately, you begin the book with greetings. Julian Miraville, speech communication professor, co-director of the Academy of Teaching and Learning Excellence at UALR. Welcome.
Hi.
You write about how greetings are essential to begin anything.
Yes.
Could you talk a little bit about how a positive greeting finds its way into what happens after?
Yes, a positive greeting can help the people in that relationship start on positive ground.
Hi, Joan.
Hi, how are you?
Oh, busy, busy, busy.
Terrible, isn't it?
It's a way of showing to another person first that they exist, that they're there. It's a way of creating a degree of intimacy and connection. And so the more positive it is, the more likely it is that what's going to come up next is going to be also positive.
Hello, hello, haven't seen you in a while.
Hi, well, I've been a bit busy.
Must have lunch sometime.
Yeah, good idea. Give me a ring.
Could you unpack these greetings for us?
These moments seem so small, almost like nothing is happening between these people. It's just a greeting, a lot of people would say. And yet, what researchers have shown about small moments like these in the workplace is that this is where collegiality is being shaped, is being formed, is being created. So that as people greet, for example, when the person says, "Hi, how are you?" it's a brief moment, but yet this is where people in that organization are able to recognize that each other matter.
People say you gotta dig a little bit deeper. And this old well's been running dry. And I went back too many times, it seems. And I need a little bit to get me by.
You write about how good communication is about choosing to respond with creativity and love.
I think one of the ways you can do that is by learning to, first of all, initiate greetings in a wide variety of forms that match the variety of people that you're going to be meeting. So I believe, for example, that learning how to greet in different languages is one way to expand your creative potential about how to initiate interactions. So if I see a student that's from Saudi Arabia, I may say, "Assalamu alaikum," as a way to jumpstart the connection, right? And he'll be surprised, and then he may respond by saying, "Wa alaikum salam." So already, our interaction has been changed by just this one different move.
Could you tell us a story about a greeting that went well?
Several years ago, Dr. Gerald Driscoll and the department and I were welcoming a group of Pakistani students who were coming to the United States for the very first time. And we decided to go into the room and to greet them in Arabic, to greet with Assalamu alaikum. And right away, the students, you know, responded positively. They taught us the response, which is Walaikum Salam. And from that emerged a whole training. It really connected the group. They saw that we were willing to move in that direction first. And so that eased the way for them learning from us about American culture. We did a study later on about these students, and we found that 6 months later, what they remembered the most about their experience was the fact that we greeted them in their native tongue. Let's use conversation analysis to move to something many people don't feel they are very good at, small talk.
Be a nice day when it warms up a bit, though.
Yeah, okay.
So you haven't done anything all week, eh? You haven't done anything exciting? Talked to any girls?
No.
Oh, that's right then. You don't want to talk to girls. They're trouble, Heath. They get you in trouble. Look at me. I would have been rich and good-looking if I hadn't had girls. Now I'm just good-looking.
Small talk is at the heart of human relationships. If you look at most conversations people have, they're not groundbreaking. They're small talk. This is where relationships are being made. In the example we just explored, you'll notice a person's inability to engage in that small talk. And what's most powerful about it is that because he's unable to do small talk, he's also unable to do relationship, to create them at work.
Every speech act is thus responsive to a previous context and shaping the new one. Let's listen.
Hi, how are you?
I'm having a crappy day.
I'm sorry to hear that. I hope you're doing okay.
I'll be all right, thanks.
Essentially, we co-construct conversations, but we shape them every minute.
We shape them at every single turn of talk, because you change one move and it would lead the conversation in a completely different direction. As we saw, "Hi, how are you doing?" If the person responds positively, then the conversation will continue to move in that direction. But if a person says, "Well, I'm not doing well today," then the next response will be very different. So already by the third move, we would have a completely different opening to the next upcoming conversation.
You also write about how often we're not exactly aware of the effect of that communicative move on others. Yet, down the road, it might be extraordinarily effective.
Yes, it has an impact that it's very hard for people to realize when they're performing that move. We can only think a couple moves in advance. Now, people who study communication may be able to go a little bit beyond that. But that is why that concept is so important, because it teaches you, what am I creating? And what am I co-creating with this other person right now in this moment?
It's like a ripple in a pond.
Yes.
Papa, why can't we go outside?
Because it's raining.
Why?
Well, water is coming out of the sky.
Why?
Because of a cloud.
Why?
I don't know. I don't know any more things. Those are all the things that I know.
Why?
Because I'm stupid, okay?
Why?
Well, because I didn't pay attention in school. I went to school, but I didn't listen.
Why?
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 Everyday conversations involve asking questions and giving answers. Question, answer, question, answer. All relationships depend on this structure. If this is true, and I believe it is, then the kinds of questions we ask make a difference. They have a ripple effect. Some questions may help us to control information, while others may help us to discover a person more deeply. I want to encourage people to make contact more deeply by flipping the kinds of questions they typically ask. What if you spend most of your time asking questions that control the amount of information people will reveal? Let's listen to an example of closed-ended questions in a doctor-patient relationship.
Does that hurt there?
It doesn't. I can feel it, but it's not real painful.
All right. Well, what I'm asking is, can you reproduce your pain by pushing?
In medicine, this interaction is very typical. The doctor is just looking to move quickly through the encounter and to get to the most important information. As you probably noticed, closed-ended questions are being used here, and they're great for that function, to control and narrow the possibility of the patient's answers. But the problem is that closed-ended questions do not allow patients to express themselves fully, and they tend to enable the physician to really discover the patient's story behind the illness. What if you made a change and you asked questions that opened up people, that allowed them and gave them the freedom to answer a little bit more deeply?
Tell me what's going on. How is your job? What else are you concerned about?
So, using open-ended questions could actually help the physician build rapport with the patient, create trust, and really discover the main problems that this patient brings to this encounter.
I'm J. Bradley Minnick with Arts and Letters. We're talking with Dr. Julian Miraville about his book, The Art of Positive Communication.
Elle vit de son mieux son rêve. D'opaline, elle danse au milieu des forêts qu'elle dessine. Je l'aime à mourir.
Saint-Exupéry's The Little Prince draws a picture from a book of a boa constrictor that swallowed an elephant whole. He says,
"The grown-ups advised me to put it away. My drawings of boa constrictors, outside or inside, and apply myself instead of geography, history, arithmetic, and grammar. That is why I abandoned, at the age of 6, a magnificent career as an artist."
Elle vit de son mieux son rêve. D'opaline, elle danse au milieu des forêts qu'elle dessine.
I found that moment from The Little Prince extraordinarily sad.
It is sad. It's a lesson about communication. It's a lesson that one sentence, one utterance, one speech act can have consequences on who people become. And that's what drives my understanding about communication.
How are compliments important in fostering positive relationships?
compliments are critical. In research, for example, by John Gottman, who studied marriages, he found that couples who maintained a great sense of satisfaction, but also who stayed together, had to maintain what he called the 5-to-1 ratio. For every one negative act, there must be 5 positive acts to compensate for it. And if that ratio is out of whack, then the relationship is not doing well.
So one negative comment, we need to fix it times 5.
Yeah, we need to fix it times 5. And I think that ratio is a good way of thinking about all kinds of relationships. It's a good way of thinking about parenting. There's some great words of wisdom by somebody named Harris, an author, who says, you can tell a child, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you all day long, every day, but one, I hate you, is all that's going to take to negate all of that work, all of that love.
Let's listen as an old school friend visits and comments on one of the children's manners.
What a polite child.
Thank you. We do our best.
In this moment, the complimenter is also making a compliment about the mother, right? So both things are happening. The child is being complimented and the mother is being complimented. And so those two ways are going to have some influence on the upcoming interaction and maybe even their future.
To get theoretical just for a moment, what is alter casting?
Alter casting is the way we give identities to other people. So how we cast them. So in a compliment, we give them a positive identity. In a criticism, we give them a negative identity. But it's also more complex because we give each other those roles. We manage them in particular ways. So we may give somebody power. We may give somebody authority. We may alter cast them as our boss. To see alter casting at play, let's examine the following interaction.
So, I want you to know, I consider you to be a strong team player, and I just don't know what I would do without you.
Thanks, Renee. That means a lot, especially coming from you. I certainly try my best, and I truly enjoy working for you.
Well, the thing is, I plan to retire in a few years, and I know that you are in school. I don't see why you wouldn't be the perfect person to take over once I leave.
Wow. I never thought about it, but it does seem like a wonderful opportunity.
So, you plan to go to grad school?
Well, to be honest, I really want to go to law school. It's been my lifelong dream. I know it really doesn't tie into this job, but it's my dream.
Don't be remorseful about following your dreams. I think you can do whatever you put your mind to. You are smart and ambitious, and I think you'd be a great attorney.
Lots of alter casting is taking place in this very small moment. First, Renee is doing lots of work through talk to give positive identities to Kamisha. For example, she alter casts her as a strong team player. She literally says it. But she also alter casts her as a possible great manager and as someone who has a lot of potential. Kamisha, and this is probably a little bit more subtle, is alter casting Renee as her boss. She's talking to her as if she is an employee of this person. And she's alter casting her as a mentor. So all those identities are being done through the way that people talk together. Complimenting is the human choice to alter cast the people around us positively, to affect their growth and their development.
Wonder if you remember the night when you said that I failed. That was a moment, yeah. The blue sky was not how fair.
Let's listen to some of the topics that adolescents avoid in their own relationships.
I avoid talking about my mom and what we do together, like when she takes me places and buys me things.
I avoid everything with my stepdad. Our conversations are very short and surface level. I basically avoid everything deep and personal.
I don't like to ask my dad if he will pay for my schooling because he'll get upset. He already pays for child support.
Oh, yes, things are just gonna be better and better. When you'll rise, stay over the deep.
In relationships between parents and adolescents, a lot of the times adolescents have to figure out, what am I going to reveal to my parent and what am I not going to reveal to my parent? And those are choices that affect how relationships develop and grow in a time where an adolescent is trying to find their own identity while at the same time still needing to be shared with a family. So for me, you know, in all human relationships, they're managed by how people disclose and by what they withdraw from disclosure. And those moments are pretty important because research shows actually that families, healthy families, families in which people have great relationships, have a higher amount of openness than families in which that's not taking place. So the more withdrawing from disclosure on the part of adolescents, the more it impacts whether or not there's a degree of openness in the family life.
You wrote it's very courageous to disclose information to another.
Disclosure becomes important because it allows us to deepen the relationships around us. So without it, you cannot develop a meaningful relationship, one that has depth and meaning. Just in my experience, what I found when we talk about communication is that people, because it involves fear, their natural reaction is to withdraw from disclosure. But closeness is actually what people are fearing the most, in my sense of it. So disclosure is the courageous act of trying to move in the direction of someone, to reveal who we are anyways, with the faith that is going to cultivate a positive relationship. Consider this example of courageous disclosure.
What is wrong? You seem upset.
I am upset.
What happened?
I'm going to tell you something, but I don't want you to tell Mom and Dad. You are the first person I've told.
Okay.
Me and Laura are separated.
Oh.
I know it seems sudden, but it has been going on for a long while, and I just needed to tell someone.
Well, I want you to know you can always talk to me. You don't have to keep it bottled up.
I wasn't sure how you would take it.
One thing that is interesting about this moment is that the person disclosing is showing that it's something that was difficult for him to do, something that required a little bit of courage, even though inherently the response to it was very positive, right? So his sister, in fact, reacted very positively to this act of disclosure. And that's something that I want people to think about, which is very often you're afraid of disclosing something, when in fact, when you do disclose, it connects you even more deeply with that person and creates solidarity with the people around you. We think people will respond negatively, but very often they surprise us. And when we move in that direction, they respond positively. So I think it takes an act of faith in another person to be able to have the courage to reveal ourselves. It's not always disclosure that is negative that is harder to do. Sometimes it's doing something positive, expressing gratitude, expressing love, expressing affection, that becomes a challenge for people because it moves them in the direction of closeness.
We've discussed greetings.
Hi, Joan.
Hi, how are you?
Asking questions.
Why?
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 And giving answers.
Well, water is coming out of the sky.
How communication influences the development of the self.
What a polite child.
And how positive communication fosters relationships.
Well, I want you to know you can always talk to me. You don't have to keep it bottled up.
Supporting other people is a way of recognizing their potential. It's a way of helping them along on that journey of discovery. A lot of the research on father-son communication showed that when a father is very affectionate with their son, it has tremendous amount of consequences later on in their lives, like in terms of the kinds of relationships that they have, about their success, financial as well as kind of intellectual, whether or not they go to college. It had all of these consequences that people hadn't thought about. But really, this section was a call for people to choose to be affectionate when there's a tendency to not.
Matt says he's an atheist, but I don't believe it.
Why do you say that?
Because you can't just believe in nothing.
Why not?
Even nothing is something.
I love this conversation. It's a father and son looking at a skyline together, and the son is obviously inquiring about, you know, religion and religious beliefs and how it makes sense. And the father, among all of this, what I love about it is that he's only asking questions. Why do you say that? Why not? What do you believe? He's putting the perspective on him, and I think that's what creates such a memorable moment. Leo Leone has a great children's story called Little Blue and Little Yellow. And Little Blue and Little Yellow are close friends, and one day Little Blue is at home and his mother goes out shopping. And so he decides to go out to look for his best friend, Little Yellow. And so he goes to the playground and Little Yellow is not there. He goes to the park and Little Yellow is not there. And so now he's walking through the city trying to find his best friend. And at one point he turns around the corner, sees Little Yellow, and they're so happy to see each other that they run into one another and start hugging and hugging and hugging until they become all green.
So what does the story about Little Yellow and Little Blue tell us?
It tells us that sometimes in communication we experience these moments of becoming green with another person. They're not, you know, they don't happen every day, but I know that in people's lives, everyone has experienced these moments where suddenly in a conversation, you feel like you've become a little green. Nothing else matters. You're just completely engaged with this person. You're completely there and present and attending and non-judgmental and empathetic. And from a communication perspective, those moments we call dialogic moments.
You write,
listening is to give full meaning to the other person who is present. Listening functions positively in human interaction when the person is able to accurately reflect the experiences of the other, validate such experiences, display warm presence and involvement in the interaction, treat the other person as an equal, and maintain a non-evaluative stance.
Easier said than done.
I struggle with this too. It's very difficult to communicate well. I think it's an art. And listening particularly is a challenge, especially in the way that it's just described.
So now the question everybody really wants the answer to, and in what ways can we be more positive in our communication?
First, you have to understand that communication is just as tangible act of giving as, you know, money. You have to remember that communication is a way of giving, and what we do is we can give to each other things like advice. We can give to each other things like affection. We can give to each other love. And encouraging is the behavior for me that encompasses that act of giving.
Communication is an act of giving.
Communication is an act of giving.
Broadcast from the University District, this has been a special program on KUAR 89.1. Thanks for joining us. Arts and Letters and other programming that airs on this station can be found at KUAR.org. Leave us a comment there and let us know what you've thought about the program. Also, check out the supplemental section of the webpage for this show if you care to try your hand at positive communication exercises that reinforce what we've learned. Thank you to Dave Bice, who supplied the theme music tributaries for today's show.
People say I gotta dig a little bit deeper.
Thank you to Drew Morse on mandolin and Samuel Ellis on the fiddle. Thank you to Matt Holland on piano. Thank you to Aaron Barger, Beetle Nelson, Penny Nelson, Steve Perry, Heather Smith, and Jennifer Walker, who supplied their voices. Thank you to Sarah Elizabeth Huber, Morgan McNeely, and Patrick Rolfson, whose adolescent voices sparkled and shined. Thanks for the assistance from Rowan Bax. Thank you to Nikolai Gordeev for voicing the Little Prince. Thank you to the truly awe-inspiring Chris Hickey, who helps us produce these shows. Thank you to speech communication professor Dr. Julian Marival, whose teaching and research strives to improve communication practices in everyday professional life. For Arts and Letters, I'm J. Bradley Menick, leaving you with the words of Hugh Prather. For communication to have meaning, it must have a life. It must transcend you and me and become us.